This is Ozarks at Large for Monday, August 20th, 2012. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Support for KUAF comes from Eureka Springs, the Victorian mountain village, featuring art, music, dining, lodging, various attractions, and outdoor activities. Information, including a visitor's vacation planner, an events calendar, newsletter registration, and more, available on the web at eurekasprings.org. Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, we pay a visit to a Farmington veterinary clinic that practices regenerative medicine on animals. Plus, we begin a series of stories that will offer an overview of the various onstage performances you can see throughout the region during the course of the new theater season. We also have a preview of Friday's Northwest Arkansas Tech Fest and more. But first, unemployment data released Friday by the Department of Workforce Services shows an increase of 0.1 percentage point from 7.2% in June to 7.3% in July. Increases were seen in manufacturing sectors, while other sectors experienced notable declines. Spokeswoman Kim Friedman says the government and hospitality sectors will see an increase once classes resume in early fall.
We typically do tend to see an increase in the government sector due to public schools and public universities being back in session, and that is an increase we typically see around August, September. Your public schools, your public universities fall under the government sector, and your private schools, your private universities fall under educational services.
The national unemployment rate remains at 8.2%, and there are over 28,000 more employed Arkansans than in July of 2011. Today is the first day of fall classes at the University of Arkansas. As many Fayetteville residents are likely aware by now, a steady flow of students have been moving onto campus during official move-in days last week. Not including students living in sorority or fraternity houses, about 5,100 students have moved onto campus. Dave Davies is the Executive Director of University Housing.
It went pretty well. We checked in about half of them on Wednesday and Thursday, and so those were the biggest days. The others were people who had come in early for sorority recruitment or for band or to volunteer or things like that. So those were the two really busy days.
There are about the same amount of students living on campus now as there were last year, but both years' totals are up about 300 students from the fall 2010 semester. Davey says there is scarcely room to house additional students on campus.
The disadvantage is that we don't have the space for upperclassmen that we would like. We will be adding, however, 600 beds by next fall, and that will relieve that. There's an awful lot of sophomores that would prefer to stay on campus, and we haven't had space for them this year and last year.
416 of those beds will be added at Hotz Hall when the building's conversion back into a dormitory is completed, and about 214 beds will be added at Founders Hall, in addition to Brough Commons, that will also expand the university's dining capacity. In the meantime, however, the university continues to house some students at the Crown Apartments near Baum Stadium.
That is basically an area where we have rented some units from Crown Apartments for upper-class students. We put staff down there just like there would be staff in a residence hall, and we sort of purchase the space wholesale and then lease it to the students by the bed as any other housing contract would be.
Davies says more students ended up being housed at the Crown than were initially intended. He estimates that about 160 students total are housed there through the University Housing Department. Benton County residents will have a chance tomorrow night to learn about what their county government is doing for them. The county will hold a county hall meeting at 6 p.m. at the Siloam Springs Community Center on Olive Street. County Judge Bob Clinard says the meetings raise residents' awareness about county operations.
We initiated county hall meetings when I came into the office that we try to do once a quarter. We'd kind of move around the county and have a meeting to discuss issues that are pertinent to our county residents as to what we're doing and why we're doing it and get them more familiar with county government. So we're having this meeting over there tomorrow night to bring to the attention of the people of the southwestern part of the county as to what we're doing as far as roads and EMS service and all the issues that concern them.
Clinard says the topic of roads will be one area of focus for officials at the meeting.
There's two ways to do roads to improve them from gravel. Is that you can pave them, or you can use asphalt, or you can use a chip and seal, which is a little less than an asphalt overlay. So we bought a new chip and seal machine, and we just want to explain to people why we're doing what we're doing. And I think in the past there's been a little bit of negative feedback on the chip and seal program, but I just don't think it's been done properly. The actual installation of the chip and seal wasn't done correctly. We are doing it correctly now, and we just want to tell people what we're doing.
Of about 1,400 miles of roads in the county, Clinard estimates about half are gravel and half are paved, and about half of the paved roads have a chip-sealed surface. He says that overlaying asphalt with chip seal can extend the life of a road. Additionally, overlaying with chip seal prepares gravel roads for asphalt paving in 3 to 4 years. The current drought has affected farmers and ranchers throughout the state. To help them cope with the legal aspects of the problem, the National Agricultural Law Center of the University of Arkansas System Division of Agriculture will host a web seminar later this month. Center Director Harrison Pittman says a plethora of topics will be discussed.
So we're looking forward to helping people through really what would be some of the most difficult times they've confronted. You know, and I'm hearing quite a few stories that really they signal that there's some people going through a great deal of financial stress in the farming community, and we just hope that we can help them out and make things a little bit easier for them.
The free webinar will begin at 11 a.m. on August 30th. Everybody is welcome, and questions can be submitted in advance. More information is available at nationalaglawcenter.org. The Northwest Arkansas Naturals didn't have much luck this weekend. Rain postponed the Nats Friday game against the Midland Rockhounds, and wet weather also postponed the game Saturday against the Frisco Rough Riders. As a result of Saturday's delay, the Naturals played a doubleheader yesterday against the Rough Riders. The Naturals lost the first game 3-0. The score didn't improve for the second game, as the Rough Riders again came out on top with a score of 3-1. The Naturals will have another shot tonight to end the four-game losing streak. They play again in Frisco at 7 o'clock. The Razorback men's basketball team finished their tour of Italy over the weekend. On Friday, the Hogs finished their sweep of Italy, beating the All-Star Italy team 93-73. Sophomore BJ Young netted 22 points for the Razorbacks, and junior Cody Clark scored 17. The Razorbacks won all four of their games in Italy, and they made their way back to Arkansas Sunday just in time for the start of classes today. The Razorback soccer team won its season opener at home Friday. The Razorbacks beat the Austin Peay Governors with a final score of 2-1. Tonight, expect clear skies to eventually become partly cloudy. We'll have lows in northwest Arkansas in the mid-50s and a low in the River Valley in the lower 60s. Tomorrow, we'll have partly cloudy conditions in the morning with clear skies later in the day, with a high of 86 in northwest Arkansas and a high of 93 in the River Valley. Tomorrow night, expect cloudy conditions with a low of 57 degrees in northwest Arkansas and a low of 66 degrees in the River Valley.